Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hi there, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and streaming live to you on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. And my guest today serves as a pastor of a parish with the same name as his. He's Father Timothy Hayes, pastor of St. Timothy's in Columbus. He's a priest for 32 years, a former vocations director, and he's here today to share his journey to the priesthood with us on Answering the Call. Welcome, Father Hayes.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to have you here. We've been trying to line Father up for a while. Finally, we got our schedules right, so we're delighted to have you. And Father, I know you're born in the Pittsburgh area, but you came to Columbus at the age of two. So for all intents and purposes, this is what you've always considered home. You're from a large Catholic family. So tell us a little bit about the Catholic upbringing in that family setting that you had.
The parish that I grew up in was actually St. Gabriel Parish in Columbus. I had a little bit of time before that at Holy Spirit in the east side. But the family grew up, and we went to grade school there at St. Gabriel up through the years and experienced the reality of parish life and family life. And the simple reality was my family was always involved with the parish, you know, from my parents on down. And growing up, I'm the oldest of eight here growing up on earth, and with a sister who was in heaven, little sister Becky, who died when she was three. Mm-hmm. I was four at the time. But we were always involved in the life of St. Gabriel and got to know the pastors there and got involved in everything in parish life and went to grade school there and just had a wonderful experience as family and faith.
And you're the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Oldest of the seven. And there were times that you actually took some of the younger ones to Mass. And
right. My mother, as a mother of nine children, eight of us growing up together, wanted to go to daily Mass. But as the other children started coming along, she wasn't able to. So instead, she asked myself and my older brothers and sister, as they were able when they reached an age to go to school, to go to Mass for her. And it just so happened that our parish Mass was before school, so we were able to do that. So I was able really to go to daily Mass through all my years of grade school. And then I went to St. Charles Prep High School, and on those days had a lot of priest faculty, so there was a daily Mass there. And then in college at University of Notre Dame, and was able to go to Mass in the evenings in the dormitory. So through most of my life, I've been able to go to daily Mass.
Wow. So that's an awesome foundation. Sounds like your family was a wonderful foundation. Let's go back to your elementary school years, if we could. Do you think as early as your elementary school years, you had an inkling that maybe you were being called to the priesthood?
Yes. My mother's mother, my grandmother, Keeley, would say that when I was in first grade or so, I would say I was going to grow up and be a priest. And so that was just always there. I've kind of racked my brain to figure out when was the first time I thought that, but I really don't have any recollection. As near as I can tell, it might have been through the experience of the death of my sister and the comfort that my family received at the time of her death, just how I saw how my family appreciated that, but it was just always there. So as far back as I can remember, when people would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It was always a priest.
Hmm.
I still have a school newsletter from eighth grade graduation where they ask all the eighth grade students, what are you going to be when you grow up? And that's what I had put down, a priest. So that's just always been there.
Okay, so always been there. And as you mentioned, after your elementary and junior high years, you went to high school at St. Charles. How would you say that those 4 years continued to kind of foster in you this thought of priesthood?
Well, at the time of going to high school, there was a men's group in the parish that was going to help me to go to a Catholic high school. And my parish went to either DeSales or St. Charles was an option. And I remember at that time they told me that St. Charles used to be the seminary. And mm-hmm. they knew I was interested in the priesthood, so they thought that might be an option. And so that's kind of why I decided to go there. And as I was there, the thing that was wonderful, the first couple of years I was there, they actually had a convent and some sisters who were still living there, the Stella Niagara Franciscans, and they had Mass in their chapel, and we would get to go to Mass there with them. People like Monsignor Gallen and Father Bennett and Father Charlie Jackson, Father Bill Dunn, others who were faculty members as priests, were just there, and it was interacting with them and experiencing the joys that they had of being priests and members of the Diocese of Columbus, that just seemed to fit.
Do students there, or did they then, when you were there, were they kind of overt about their interest in the priesthood? Did people declare that, so to speak, or?
At that time, I think so many of us had come from Catholic backgrounds and grade schools that if you had that interest, you expressed it. You know, I had two classmates at the time that expressed the idea, and then two of us have become priests. One other didn't, but now I actually have another classmate who is a permanent deacon for the diocese. So, yeah, there were 63 of us in the class, and of that class, there were a few that had that interest and expressed it.
Wonderful. And you actually earned the Joyce Scholarship, which would send you on to Notre Dame for college education. And I know that's an impressive feat, considering how rigorous the academics are at St. Charles. What did you study at Notre Dame?
At Notre Dame, I knew that I wanted to be a priest and was eventually going into seminary, so I knew I had to have a background that would be appropriate for that. So I'd spoken with the vocations director at the time, Father Jerry Sluka, and he indicated the kinds of philosophy I'd need. So I studied as an English major and then had a philosophy as a second major. My sophomore year in college, I was on a foreign study program in Rome, so I studied Italian also. I ended up having Italian as a third major. So English, philosophy, and Italian would be the areas of concentration.
And you'd pick up a few more after that, wouldn't you? Just talk about your, because you have a lot of language.
I love language. I remember in grade school having an aunt who was learning in high school some French, and that just fascinated me. So I'd always decided someday when I was in high school, I was going to study French. Well, when I got to St. Charles, of course, they required Latin for 2 years. I ended up taking it for 4 years. I did take French, had that for 3 years. And then my senior year, they even offered a course in Greek. Dominic Cavello, who eventually became the principal there, taught a Greek class. And so that just kind of fed my love for language. Then when I got to college, I also threw in Italian. And then knowing I was interested in Scripture, I took a course in Hebrew. So I've had the biblical languages and then a few modern languages, and I just really enjoy that.
Wow, that's awesome. And you mentioned about going to Rome. You actually went to Rome the first time in high school, but you would go a couple more times during your Notre Dame years. What was that like to go there?
Well, actually, the first time I went there was in college, was for the foreign study program. Growing up, I used to think travel was something that was only for rich people. Hmm. Well, my family was a family of 8 kids, and we weren't rich. When I got to college, and as you mentioned, the Joyce enabled me to use my scholarship even for the foreign study program, I thought, well, if I can do that, I always enjoyed studying about Greece and Rome and thought, well, I would go there. So the experience of Italy really opened up the world for me. I realized that, you know, it was something that we could engage and encounter, whether we were rich or poor, and that there was a broadness to that. And I really enjoyed that experience. Studying Italian, really, and then actually being able to make use of it, you know, ordering food and, you know, traveling and all of that, you know, really showed how we can communicate with the world. And that's just never stopped for me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that you were over there when John Paul II was.
I was, elected. Yes. I'm quite sure that was the most historic moment of my life. I was a sophomore in college. I was taking, actually, ironically, a French course in Italian at the French Cultural Center. And the day that Pope John Paul II was elected, I remember running from the Victor Emmanuel Monument all the way down Corso Vittorio Emanuele to the Vatican. And just as I got to St. Peter's Square, the shout went up that the smoke was white. Oh. And then I was there for the whole evening. You know,
wow.
I'll never forget. And I was glad I'd studied Latin so I could understand it. Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum, habemus papa.
Oh.
And then Pope John Paul II came out and in his beautiful Italian spoke to the people. And, you know, that's a vivid, vivid memory. Jump ahead several years later as a priest, I was able to take a pilgrimage back to Rome in the year that he was canonized. And it was rather interesting. That year, I didn't get to be in the square because there were so many people in the square, but I was out in the midst of the crowd and among many of his fellow countrymen from Poland experiencing his being named a saint. So I feel like, in a way,
wow,
his whole life, you know, as Pope and then, you know, his witness in the church, the call to holiness, you know, really encompassed my life. So
yeah,
I really appreciate that.
Such an impact on all of us. Yeah, such an impact. What a marvelous, marvelous saint. So you were finishing up at Notre Dame, graduating in 1981, and that idea of priesthood was still there. So you were at this point ready to apply for the seminary. And with all those languages under your belt, I'm not surprised that you had expressed an interest to the vocations director to study theology in Rome. And that's where you went.
Yes. During the college years, the Diocese of Columbus had a program called SPES, HOPE, the scholastic program for ecclesiastical students that kept in touch with those of us, especially who were in other colleges, not in the seminary. And so through my college years, I was in touch with the vocations director in the diocese and, you know, understood what was necessary. So I just went to college with the expectation that at the end of my college years, I'd go on to seminary. And in those days, our diocese had a variety of seminaries, and they invited us to visit those. And of course, most folks didn't get to visit the seminary in Rome, but I had already met folks over there, so knew about it. And the opportunity being made available, I couldn't say no to that. And that opened up a whole world of things. Again, studying at the Gregorian University in Rome, being in class with people from literally all over the world. Our classes were in Italian, and we would gather and speak with other students from other nations, and it was just a wonderful experience of universal church.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be over there in the Eternal City studying to be priesthood, like you say, universal church, the diversity that, you know, the students that were studying in Rome with you, people from all over the world, I'm assuming. But yeah, how incredible. What an experience. We're talking with Father Timothy Hayes. He's the pastor of St. Timothy's in Columbus, and he is our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. So, Father, after your theology, 4 years of theology in Rome, actually 5 years?
4 years of theology. Later on, after 7 years in the diocese, I went back and studied.
That's right, for the sacred theology. So then on June 22nd, 1985, you and one other seminarian, Father Jeff Rimmelspa, would be ordained at St. Joseph's Cathedral here in Columbus. What were some highlights of that long-awaited day for you, your ordination day?
First of all, it was rather interesting, the date that was chosen, Feast of St. Thomas More. In my own family background, I've got English, and I'd visited the town where my great-grandparents came from, and remember visiting the Church of St. Joseph's there, and there was a window, of course, of St. Thomas More. So when that date was chosen, that was a very special thing. So I felt like St. Thomas More, you know, really embraced me as one of his own sons, spiritually speaking, in terms of the association with England and the witness of faith and willingness to live the faith. In the ordination ceremony itself, Father Jeff and I would always talk about the fact that between the two of us, we filled the cathedral. So we'd already had a lot of connections. Of course, I had a large family, and he had a smaller family, but a lot of friends. And so the fact that the cathedral was full. During the ceremony itself, for me, one of the special moments was when I was lying during the Litany of Saints and everyone's praying, the list of saints that I had given to the choir to use was sung out in exactly the order in which I'd given them. So I felt like heaven was entering into that. And as I was lying there, it was beautiful. And then Father Jeff and I always laugh that, you know, at the ordination ceremony, the congregation claps as the bishop chooses us for the reality of the ordination. We got another set of applause when we did the sign of peace. After all the priests had given both of us the sign of peace, we gave each other the sign of peace, and they just erupted spontaneously in applause. And so every time there's an ordination, we watch for that to see if it will happen. It has a few times, but not very often.
So. You know, and the interesting thing about you and Father Rimmelspa is, you know, while you're classmates from the standpoint of you were ordained together, you were really never in the same program, school, classes together.
Right. And that was the importance of the summer months when I was in college, getting to know each other and then keeping in touch through the diocesan program. Yes.
And that's kind of a good segue to the next question. I know when a priest is ordained, he doesn't come into parish life cold because he's typically done parish internships along the way. That's the case for you, obviously. And you actually had an early one at St. Tim's, which is your current parish. And that particular internship was important, an important one in your formation, wasn't it?
Having mentioned that I wanted to be a priest when I was a little kid, one of the things I had to deal with personally was that really God's call, or was that something I had just picked up personally and carried? And so that's what going to seminary doesn't mean you're going to become a priest. It means you're discerning. And what I recognized about halfway through my theology years, I really needed to discern that. I don't remember what was said, but someone had said something that kind of took me back to the question, am I really suitable for this life? And so after 2 years of theology, I was assigned with Father Ted Thomas at St. Timothy Church. And I came that summer really open, continuing to call, but also open to really discerning it. And I remember, especially at St. Timothy, there were a large number of people who just drew me in. There's a Bible study group that meets there on Tuesday mornings. Shout out to them if they're listening to this. They're still meeting.
That's awesome.
They were established by the first pastor there and have done it through the years. Anyway, that summer, they received me, and I realized they were drawing out of me what the first 2 years of study in theology and in Scripture had put into me. And they mirrored to me that the people of God also are part of the vocation. So I had the interior sense of call, but it was church itself that opened me to realize, yes, I can really do this. And some of the people there are still in the Bible study, and you know, I'm just very grateful to them for their witness. And then the irony, of course, several years later, when Bishop Campbell was looking for a priest to send to St. Timothy, he thought of sending me and sent me there. So the people who loved me into priesthood in the seminary, I went back for my last 2 years and was ordained a deacon over there and then priesthood in Columbus. Now they have a pastor because they shared in that.
Yeah.
So to all people who look at young men, I invite you to invite them, to mirror to them that you think they might have something there for you.
Absolutely. It kind of reminds me of when a young man is going into the seminary, that not only is he discerning, but it's the spiritual director, the formation people, you know, they're also discerning from the church's standpoint, do you have a call? So that's kind of neat how you were saying that the people of God kind of confirming that call with you too when you were a seminarian. So let's kind of look at your priesthood of 32 years for the Diocese of Columbus. And you've served in a variety of ways. I'd like to talk about your parish life first. You were associate pastor at three different parishes in the beginning, St. Mary's in Lancaster, St. Brendan's in Hilliard, and St. Joan of Arc. Fairly sizable parishes. How was that, you know, your first experience in that kind of a role? How was that for those three parishes?
When I first went to St. Mary's in Lancaster, honestly, you don't know what to expect. I remember my mother drove me down there because at that point I didn't own a car. So the first thing I'd do is buy a car. And Father Bill Dunn was the pastor there. He had been my high school Latin teacher freshman year. So that was kind of nice to reconnect there. In the opportunity of parish life, he involved me in every aspect of that. So visiting the school, participating in all the liturgies and the various parish meetings, getting to know the people and just connecting with them. Recently, I did get to go back there for one of our newly ordained priests' first Mass, and I saw so many of the same people there, and they recognized me, and I recognized them, and you know, could see the connection that was there. In every parish where I've been, it's been the pastor and the people that I feel have really formed me to be the priest I'm called to be. And as a diocesan priest, one of the things I notice that's different from religious priesthood, the reality is, as a diocesan priest, you're committed to a territory. And you go to a parish as associate or as pastor, and they call out of you what they need, and they teach you to be the priest that you're called to be for them.
And then after your three assignments as an associate, it came time to be a pastor. And you're given your first assignment as pastor for 12 and a half years at the Church of the Blessed Sacrament in Newark. And as you mentioned earlier, you're currently serving at St. Tim's. You've been there for 8 years now. So, and you kind of touched on this, but like learning to live among God's people and serve them isn't something you really learn out of a textbook when you're in seminary, right? You really need to get out there and do it. What would you say, as you think about your role as pastor, what are some of like the learning experiences you've found in shepherding the people of God?
Well, for me, the heart of it is listening. You know, the people let you know what their real need is. And sometimes they haven't been able to listen to themselves. So if you listen quietly and are with them, they will draw things out of you. So in one parish, it might be to help them, you know, work with family life. In another parish, it might be to build a new school building. In another parish, it might be to deepen their sense of spirituality. So they draw that out. The reality, though, is together we work to build God's kingdom and to be welcoming to draw others into the experience of the sacramental life of the church and everything that Jesus offers.
What is it like, Father Hayes, when, you know, you're serving, I'm thinking especially serving 12 and a half years, but even a lesser term than that, you know, to then be given a new assignment, something, you know, new to do, and you're leaving these people that you have forged these friendships with, you know, how is that to make
this? It's a painful experience, really. When I first left St. Mary's in Lancaster, I remember the pain of that leaving. They received my priesthood in my first 3 years of priesthood and showed me I could live and be a priest. When I left Church of the Blessed Sacrament in Newark, after 12 and a half years, I'd known some of their children from kindergarten, first grade, all the way through,
yes,
getting ready to graduate,
yeah,
from high school. You can see where they are as children and where they're going. The invitation to share their lives, and then, you know, to be a father in that context. Well, to move, it's a painful thing. But I took that really as a sign of the bond that's there. And I found that every parish I go to, there are people who draw that out of me. And it's really the Lord who does it. And I learn new things I can do and new directions we can go together.
Has there been any opportunity for pilgrimage during your 32 years as a priest? Because you had all that international experience,
right,
you know, leading up to your priesthood.
Absolutely. I say God is really my travel agent. You know, I'm willing to go wherever he wants to lead. And when I came to Blessed Sacrament, the reality of experiencing that as a place of pilgrimage was kind of neat. We were the station church for the year 2000, so I tried to give them that sense. From there, I attended a pilgrimage or two to the Holy Land, to Poland, Hungary, that sort of thing.
Nice.
And then I led some pilgrimages myself. At St. Timothy's, the Bible study group said they wanted to go to the Holy Land the first couple of years I was there, and so we made arrangements and we took a pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Yeah.
I've also taken pilgrimage in the footsteps of St. Timothy and St. Paul, went to where Timothy's diocese was in Ephesus, and then that same year that we went to Pope John Paul II's canonization, I went to Termoli, where St. Timothy's earthly remains are in Italy.
Wow, and really getting to your roots, which is awesome. I do want to talk about, though, before we end the program, is your term as vocations director. That was 1988 to 1992, so it was in the midst of all that parish life. What was that role like for you?
Again, for me, the reality of priesthood is sharing the call and sharing the mission that we have together, and I know God as the all-loving provider and listener, and my job is to help people to hear God's call. So really what happened as vocations director was I got to work with people every day who were asking the question, what does God want me to do with my life? And once you get a sense of that, you never really end. So yes, my term as vocations director ended after 4 years, but I still see myself as a person who assists others to find their vocation, and I do that in parish life. You know, some young people are considering priesthood a religious life. It's a wonderful call, and everyone should at least consider it at some point. I always tell our eighth graders that when they're preparing for confirmation. The generous single life is a call, and God does call people to, you know, throw in their lot with God as a single person. Marriage is a vocation, the call to live that witness of life. And so really my role is to assist them to do that. And it's a privilege because I watch people and can listen to the call that God is offering them. And I see he really has it all in hand. He's going to bring us to where we need to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, I ask all my priest guests this question, but I especially think it's fitting for a former vocations director is, you know, what kind of advice do you give a man? Maybe there's a man listening to the program today, and maybe he is considering the vocation to priesthood. So what advice would you give that individual?
Simply, if the Lord is calling you to consider it, just say yes and see where it leads. I mean, I know that so many of the places and experiences I've had came from my just willingness to follow the path the Lord was unfolding for me. And the second thing I would say is really listen to the people of God. Have a close relationship with them and realize when someone says, you'd make a good priest, you'd make a good religious, the reality is they see something in you that is really something that comes from God, and put your trust in that. None of us are worthy, but God himself gives us all kinds of graces to help us to follow the path that he unfolds for us. So say yes to God, and it's going to open a whole new world for you.
And it did for you, obviously. I'm excited myself when I'm meeting these seminarians and these newly ordained priests coming out of the seminary today. I think this is an exciting time for the church, and I think these are great, solid men coming to serve our diocese and beyond.
It's a privilege to work with them and to work with all the people of God.
It is. So, Father, any final thoughts, any plans upcoming, any dreams you haven't realized as a priest yet? Hope one day I'd like to do, I'd like to go to this particular place, or I'd like to achieve this particular thing.
Actually, what God has taught me is He always has the dream, and He opens us up to that. And I'm excited to find out what's next, when He opens up a new plan. Of late, my parish has been involved in the Amazing Parish Project.
Yes.
We're in the midst of doing Alpha. We just had the Alpha Retreat, and it was an awesome mm-hmm. experience. It really opened up for a lot of people the gift of the Spirit. So I'm excited to see where God's going to lead all of us together. The key, I think, is that we're able to work together and trust stability and interdependence and to follow where God is leading.
Great words. Great words to end on. Father Timothy Hayes, thank you so much for being with us. Can you leave us with your blessing?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. God bless you, Father, and thanks for listening. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli. Join us Tuesdays and Sundays, 12:30, for another episode. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Then he, so-